today is God bless our kids. And because of time, Rog, are you ready to rock and roll and climb? Here we go, buddy. Look at that.
Amen.
I tell you what, I say it often, but Rog and I tag team preach. We really do. And I really appreciate it. And I just want to tell him thank you again. Can we do that again? I love you. Life of that little baby up there. I mean, come on. Isn't that great? God bless our kids. Let's go, Roger. Say this with me. I want God to bless my children. Say this with me. I want God's favor on my children. That's what we're going to talk about today. What can I do to help make that happen? What can you do to get God's blessing on your kids? Sometimes I think we just, well, I just pray and ask God to bless me. Prayer's a good thing. Amen?
Yes.
There's certain things you need to do. Well, I'll just throw them to the wind. Whatever happens, happens. I ask God to bless them. That is not blessing your children. There are some things that you can do. And I know some of you are thinking, well, my kids have grown, and why do I need this message? Listen, we're all God's children, amen? If we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so the things that we're going to have you teach your kids today are things that you need to know and you and I need to be doing ourselves. But this message is for everybody. But it really is effective when we do it with children. Here we go, let's start. What do we do? If we want God to bless our kids, what can we do? Say that with me if you don't mind. Teach them to fear the Lord. I've got some scripture, quite a bit of scripture, that is to know who He is. How can your kids fear God if they don't know Him? And how are they going to know Him unless you tell them? You understand? Romans 10 says that about the gospel. How can people be saved without a preacher? How can they hear the word without a preacher? Somebody sharing the word. How are your kids going to know to fear God unless you tell them? You got to do it. You got to talk to them. Let's keep moving. Here we go. Fear. Teach your kids to fear the Lord. What is fearing God? It is to be in awe of God. Not if you get the man upstairs. That's pathetic. God isn't the man upstairs. He's creator. He's ruler of the universe. He's a holy God. I'm telling you. Listen, to be in awe of God. Need to teach them to fear it. To respect God. Terry grew up and was gone. Married up the road when I was 14, 15, 16. And my mouth cursed God.
Yeah.
I didn't have respect for God. I hadn't honestly been taught to respect God. I was listening to a lot of what Jimmy was singing about. Listening to what was happening in front of me, seeing it. Oh, but I was going right down the road with it, buddy. But we need to teach our kids to respect God. That's what fearing God is. The next thing, to have an acute reverence for God. You know, acute pain, a sharp pain. That's how our reverence ought to be. It ought to be sharp.
Amen.
Our reverence to God should be sharp, man. We worship Him. We need to teach our kids to fear God. Let's look at some scriptures, and then we're going to talk about how do we do that. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. We're going to skip a little bit, but you can follow us along on the screen or in the Word this morning. I recommend it. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded thee. Thou, and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be what?
Prolonged.
Keep that in mind. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy what?
Children.
And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walk by the way, when thou lie down, when you rise up. 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord God, thy God is a what? A jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I mean, you know we ought to teach our kids that. Kids, you don't want God to get so angry at you that He destroys you off the face of the earth. Well, God's a God of love. He would never do that. What did the Bible just say? Say, we need to fear Him, right? To love Him.
Yeah.
Things can happen in our life. We need to trust Him. What happens when we don't fear the Lord? I thought I'd throw these scriptures up this morning. What happens when we don't fear the Lord? Here's just an idea. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God and the salvation, everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." Keep watching. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." What happens when we don't teach our kids to fear God? "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be so wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. I think it's important we teach our kids to fear the Lord.
Amen.
It's just a terrible passage. All, look at it. Verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one toward another." Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. "And even as they did not like to what? To retain God in their what?
Knowledge.
God did what? Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I guess the point I want to make off the bat, in case some of you are here today, "I don't need to teach my kids to fear to God. Yeah, big deal. Who really cares?" Well, that's what you're doing to your kids then. Alright, you're on your own. You figure it out. Friend, you have been put on this planet for your kids to teach them to fear the Lord. It is the most unloving, hateful thing a parent can do, is to throw their kid to the wind and not tell them about God and who God is. "Well, I'm not a preacher." You don't have to be a preacher.
That's right.
You've got the Word of God. You're coming here. You're learning. And you're responsible. And you're not getting off the hook with me.
That's good.
Teach them to fear the Lord. Let's look at a couple other things. Where do I start, preacher man? Start at the beginning. Here it is. Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You start teaching your kids about God. You start teaching them who He is. You start teaching the God of the Bible. Don't you teach them all roads lead to heaven, because that's a lie.
That's right. That's right.
The God of the Bible had a son named who? Jesus. Died on the what?
Cross.
Rose from the what?
Dead.
Gave us the Holy Spirit to come into us, to comfort us, to be our guide, to walk with us. That's the true God of the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't pull no Buddha mess or jump like that. You hear me?
Amen.
I'm telling you, the God of the Bible. And that might, I know some of you are seeking and you're looking and you're learning. Listen, that is the God of the Bible. You can find Him. He's very near to you. Teach them that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Kids can grow, and you start to teach them. They'll grow, and they're going to get an amazing understanding. Let's keep moving. Jeremiah 32. I want to throw this verse out, or two. "I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them, and of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them, to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart, with my whole soul." Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that God didn't give us a bunch of ways? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I get a little confused sometimes. Amen? I'm glad that John 14:6, look at 14:1, it reminded me of this. 14:1. One heart, one way. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God? Believe also in me. 14:6, what did he say? Say it with me, come on. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
You need to teach your kids that. You hear what I'm saying today? Teach them to fear the Lord. Teach them at the very beginning who God is. Teach about Him. To trust in Jesus Christ. To believe in Him. That's the Bible. There's one way to God. Let's keep moving. Here's what I call the fear factor. Some of you might be here today and I may have lost you already. I hope not. Stay with me if you don't mind. Here we go. What good is fearing God? You might be here thinking that. What good is fearing God? That guy's crazy. I'm going to tell him how to teach my kid to fear God. What's that all about? Well, get in here with me. Come on. The fear factor. What good is it to teach him to fear God? Number one, it helps him to depart from evil. Amen. Look at the verse. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why did my kid keep doing that? Maybe because he ain't ever learned no better. You know what I'm saying? Teach him to fear God. Teach him that not only does it displease you, but it displeases God.
Yeah, yeah.
Teach him God's Word. And when you teach him God's Word, the Holy Spirit's going to be working. And you're going to find that they are going to start themselves developing a conscience and not wanting to do the evil things. We all struggle, but we've got to put God's Word in us. What good is fearing God? Number two, it helps him to hate evil. When you teach your kids to fear God, that there's a holy God and a loving God who loves them to pieces, you teach them the consequences of sin, what sin can do, and they see it in their life and in their friends and their peers and in their world. Listen, because you put that in them, they're going to start to hate evil. Look at it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth. How many parents here you want your kids to hate that kind of stuff? Say, do you? You want your kids to hate pride? You want them to hate somebody? Not somebody, but the spirit of being arrogant, the evil way, somebody with a froward mouth, themselves especially?
Yeah.
We want to teach that to our kids. What good is fearing God? Number three, it helps prolong their days. I'm going to be ugly again. I wouldn't. I tell you what, you're a pitiful parent if you wouldn't want your kid to live a long life. Is that true or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you want your kids to be able to live a long life, say?
Yeah.
Sure you do. But when you don't teach them to fear the Lord, the Bible says that their days won't be prolonged. It just makes common sense. If they said anything goes attitude, I can have sex with anybody I want to, I can take as many drugs as I want to, I can do anything I want to, I can steal, I can lie, I can cheat, they're going to live to be maybe 45. Okay? That's the bottom line. The average age of a homosexual male is 45 years old. I wish our government would tell people that. Mm-hmm. That is not we're not a loving government when we don't say things like that.
Yeah.
It's not about a choice. It's about death. It's about life. I know it's hard. It breaks my heart, but that's the facts. It helps prolong life when we teach our kids. Kids, your parents aren't hating your guts because they're trying to teach you. They want you to live, man. They want you to live life to the full. They're not trying to just restrict everything you do. I know we do that sometimes as parents. I'm the worst. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be what?
Short.
Flat out. And I know in some situations where you've had a child and you've raised them right, and you felt like you did the right thing, and they didn't live a long life, and that's heartbreaking. And I understand that. I don't have all the answers, but you know that that principle is true by and large, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
And you need to do that. What good is fearing God? Why do I teach them to fear God? Because it helps them with confidence. Who wants to raise a child who doesn't know God? Who wants to raise a child who, when they face a hard struggle, they're all alone? That nobody loves them, that God doesn't love them, that God doesn't care for them. That's cruel to raise a kid like that, friend. Teach them to fear the Lord. Look, and the fear of the Lord is strong what? Confidence. And His children shall have a place of refuge. Boy, I want my kids to know, no matter what happens, God loves you.
Yeah.
Amen. No matter what happens.
That's good.
There's a God that's on your side. He is for you. If something happens to Daddy, let me tell you something. I'll be all right, and you're going to make it because God loves you.
Amen.
He cares for you. We need to teach our kids about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, how about this? Teaching your kids this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then, how about this one? Teach your kids this. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.
Good.
Teach them like that. How about this one? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we don't teach our kids, they're missing out. And it's more, friend, than just taking them to Sunday school. I mean, I know that's all well and good. Let me tell you something. You've got to be active in your kid's life. And you might say, well, where do I start? Well, you start at the beginning. Like I told you, how hard is this? This really isn't that hard. Get the DVD. All right? What good is fearing God? It helps them succeed in life. If you say to your kids, God bless you. I want you to be a success. But you haven't taught them to fear the Lord. You're teaching them to fail. We want our kids to be a success. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Amen. It's a fountain of life when you teach your kids. I see a water fountain. A fountain just bubbling over. That's how I want my kids to be. Amen? Life. Look at this next one. The fear of the Lord tends to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied, Terry.
Yeah.
The song.
That's good.
He shall not be visited with evil. When we fear the Lord, what does that mean? When I fear the Lord, I'm leaning towards life. Amen? I'm tending towards life. I'd rather tend towards life than tend towards death. Amen? But parents, you have that responsibility. You can make that happen. We're talking about God's favor on our kids. It's more than, oh, God bless my children. You play a big part. So that's the first thing. So what do? If we want God to bless our kids, to have favor on our children, what do? We teach them, here it is, say it with me, to fear the Lord. That's number one. Number two, hang in here with me. And I think this is going to be interesting right here. We teach them to walk in the way of the Lord. We teach them to fear the Lord, but we teach them to walk in the way of the Lord. When we teach them to fear the Lord, we teach them who God is. When we teach them to walk in the way of the Lord, we teach them to know what He says. We teach them to know what God says. I want my kids to be able, when tough decisions or decisions they're facing, I want it to be in their head, something going, wait a minute, that's not what God's Word says. Wait a minute, that's not right. Even though we make wrong decisions, I still want that there, amen? Teach them to walk in the way of the Lord. Let's look at this verse. Now, I really want us to learn this verse. If you're asleep, just do this to somebody. Here we go. Come on. Here we go. Proverbs 22:6. How many already know this verse? You feel like you got it now? Okay, look at y'all. Y'all teach the rest of the class. Here we go. Here we go. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's do it again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Can you make that string go away? Test time. Here we go. Train up a child in the
way he should go,
and when
he is old,
he will
not depart from it.
All right? I mean, who's a person who didn't know that verse, but now you know it? Can I see a hand? All right. Are you ready? Talk to me. Here we go. Can you try it? You want to try it? Train up a... No, let her do it. In the way he should go, and when he's... From it! Good. Get it? Is that the first time you've memorized that? You feel like you got it, Jamie? Train up a child the way he should go. But when he is old, he will not. Okay. Now that we've got that verse memorized, I want to mess with your head just a bit. Here we go. Here is the popular interpretation of that verse. Here is the popular interpretation that I was taught, that you have been taught, that you've heard. This is that interpretation. When you teach a kid the Scriptures, you take him to Sunday school early in life. He might get away from God. He might become a hellraiser. He might just get totally out of church, away from God, everything. But later on in life, perhaps even when he is really old and in a nursing home, someone will visit him. And then he will repent. And he will come back to Jesus. Now, that's the way we've been taught. I'm not saying that that isn't a possibility. But that is not what the verse is teaching. Okay? That is not what the verse is teaching. Because guess what? There are a lot of kids that were raised, and they lived their whole life, and they didn't come back. They didn't come back. They didn't, flat out, period. It doesn't line up with the Bible. It's true. I hate to break the news to you today, but it happens. When we raise people, raise our young ones in the ways of the Lord, there is no guarantee that they're going to stick with it, and when they get older, they're going to come right back. I know I got some of you, what? That's blasphemy. Let's look. Here we go. Let's look at the verse. Let's break it up. Here's the proper interpretation. We're going to break it up. And we were going to go back to the Hebrew. This verse of the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew. Let's look at it. Here we go. Let's start out with the word train up. What does the word train up mean? Here it is. It's a Hebrew term referring to the pattern. Is that the pattern? Okay. Is that sort of the pattern? All the piles I have? Okay. I'm sorry. Look at me. Pattern. Okay. I'm from the country. Here we go. It refers to the palate or the roof of the mouth. I think it refers to little both of them right in there. A tasting thing. Here we go. Here we go. So what does the word mean? It refers to that part of the mouth where you can taste. This term was used to describe the action of a midwife who would deliver the child. And soon after the child was born, she would dip her fingers into the juice of crushed dates. And then would massage the infant's gums and palate to create a sensation for sucking. Okay? That's what it means. So what does that mean? Let's look at it. She would then place the child into the mother's arms, and the baby would begin nursing. That's the word that is used for train up. So what does that mean to us? Here it is. Parents, train your children. Here's country talk. When they got juice on their lips, they're suckers. Alright? When they got juice on their lips, they're suckers. You know what our job as parents are when it comes to training our children in the ways of God? Listen to me. Listen. Here it is. We are to create a thirst for the nourishing flow of God's Word in our kids. That is our job. So when we teach them that, when we teach them the Word of God, they start, I'm not talking about little baby, now you get the picture, don't you? They start to have a taste, a sensation for that flow of God's Word in their mouth and in their heart. That's the idea, to create that thirst. Let's keep going. Proverbs 1:19, thy word I hid in my heart, I might not sin against thee. Keep moving. What's the word child mean? Train up a child. Child. This is not just a baby through age 5 or 6. The word is used many times. It speaks of newborns, little boys, girls, youth, and even young men and women. Keep moving. The point is that any dependent child living under their parents' roof who is still dependent. I'm not just talking about depending on a place to stay. But they're at that age where they're still learning. They're still learning. You and I are to train our kids. Even as they get older. Quite frankly, Mitch graduated from high school the other night. You think that means learning is over? It ain't over, son. The fat man ain't sung yet. Alright? It ain't over. But that was a huge point. All these kids, that was a huge point. But I'll automatically, your parents aren't teaching you anymore. They're not instructing you, helping you with Scripture and wisdom and counsel. Are you kidding? Hey, you're still to learn. That's fantastic. So train up a child. You know what that tells me? It's not too late to train up. Amen?
Amen.
I was 16 when I became a Christian. Almost 16. Lot of water under the bridge. But guess what? I tell you what. God's Word was able to do a miraculous work in my life. You know what I'm saying? It took a while, but it does work. It's never too late to teach them, to train them. Keep moving. Hebrews 4, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, and intuitive, sword that pierces the body and soul, soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. The Word of God is quick. Next verse. Isaiah 55, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. When you teach your kids that, to have that taste, when you train them up, it's going to make a difference in their life. So train up a child, but we're still getting somewhere. In the way he or she should go. Pay attention on this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth right well. Keep moving. Every child, can you say this with me, has certain bents. We're to train up a child, how? In the way
he should go.
This verse is clearly teaching that every child has certain bents. Keep moving, Raj. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Keep moving. They're hand stitched by the Lord. They are not manufactured in some sweatshop. Kids are individual. They have different bents. It's our job as parents. If we abdicate our responsibility, we are the closest to them to see them, to see what they're like, to see their temperaments, to see how they behave, to see how they act. They're different. Every kid is different. And it's our job to teach them and to train them in the way that they should go. Is every kid going to go in the same way, yes or no? No! It's our job to teach them and to train them in the way that they should go. If we don't do that, and yet we pray for God's favor on our kids, you didn't do your part. God had this plan for them. But you had them doing this. You didn't help them. Train them in the way they're going. Look at this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. We must consider our children and how different each one is. I have two kids. They are different. Were your kids different, yes or no?
Yeah.
All right? Twins are different, aren't they? Every kid is different. God wants you to know your children. Can you say that? God wants you to know your children. Keep moving. To appreciate the unique way that they have been crafted. They are uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Look at Proverbs 20. It said, even his child is known by his doings. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. If you look at your child, you'll see how your child has been. You'll learn things about your child. The Lord will speak through you, work through you to rear that child. Next, here's two errors that we need to avoid. Number one, raising your kids the way you were raised. Why? Here it is. Because they are not you and you are not your parents. They're different.
That's good.
But I mean, I know a lot of times I go, "Boy, my mama did this." You ever done that? Boy, if you did that, my house, my mama knock you out. You know, I'm not saying you can't say that every once in a while. I go, "So fun, all right?" But you can't do that. Look, they're not you, and you're not your parents. Everything's different. You raise your, don't raise them the way you were raised. Number two, next big mistake: comparing your children with each other and applying the same approach to all. Well, this is the way it was with your brother, and this is the way it's going to be with you. Well, guess what? It doesn't always work that way. Why? Because kids are what? They're different. Some kids you might give a little more rope to. The other kids you got tied up. You know what I'm saying? Kids are different. We're to train them in the way that they should go. They have bents. Both of these errors are made when we fail to understand and appreciate how fearfully and wonderfully each of our children are. Okay? Now this is the last part. This is where we're going to part friends, I hope, but we might disagree. Here it is. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he or she is what? Old. He or she will not depart from it. Let's go to the Hebrew. What's the word mean? The root meaning for the Hebrew word old is hair on the chin. hair on the chin. What do you think that means? Let's look at it. It speaks of someone approaching adulthood, not retirement. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when little Chucky starts getting hair on his chin, he'll not depart from it. See what I'm saying? Once you teach him, and you've been training him, and you've been working on him, and he comes into this adolescence and puberty and things like that, you've been teaching him, and this is the way he's headed. Does that make any sense to you?
Amen.
See, that lines up with the Bible.
Amen.
That is the truth. That will happen. Does that mean it's a guarantee that he'll always be in God's will? He'll always serve Jesus? No.
Yeah.
Friend, it is a choice, isn't it?
Right.
And we all can make that choice. It speaks of a boy who's starting to grow a beard. Let's keep moving. The meaning is that when he starts reaching maturity, will not depart from the way in which he or she has been trained. We're almost done. I'm out of time. Here we go. We're almost finished. Do you want your children to be blessed of the Lord?
Yes.
Then here's how you do it. You teach them the purity to know who he is. I want my kids to know the Lord. Number two, you train them to walk in his ways. You teach them to know what he says. You can't make them do what he says, but you can teach them what he says. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
And then we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Here's the last thing, and I had to say it today. How do we get God's favor and blessing on our children? Finally, here's the last point. Don't offend your children. Don't offend your children. What do we mean? Let's let Jesus talk to us. Here's Jesus talking. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone, a stone weighing hundreds if not thousands of pounds, were hanged about his neck, and that he were what? Drowned in the depths of the sea. Keep moving. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life, all remain, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed, say it with me, that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Don't offend your kids. And I want to say something. I want you to know, whether you like it or not, here it comes. Hang on. Stop right there. What should be done with pedophiles who abuse and molest children? I don't care how spiritual you're acting today. Jesus Christ said they should be killed. Okay? You're kidding. The church should be loving. They should be killed. People that put their hands, molest children, rape children, kill children, Jesus said, he's a lot meaner than I am, I'll tell you that. He said, get a big old millstone, biggest one you can find, tie it around their neck. Did he say let them go for a swim, or did he use the word drown?
Drown.
You need to understand what the Bible teaches. We're so politically correct and mealy-mouthed half the time, we got pedophiles running the streets because nobody's got the guts to say, you're not going to do that. To our kids. Can I get an amen or something on that?
Amen. Amen.
Good grief. Stand for that kid. Don't offend your child. Okay? Parents, you will pay an awful price if you offend your children. And I've got two things I want to say. Here it is. If you want them to be blessed, and don't curse them. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. I'm talking about actually cursing. Their parents, they think that because they brought their kids into the world, they can talk to them like a dog. Curse them. You ought to be ashamed. I'll be honest with you. I know I might get my tail whooped after church, but if you curse your kids, I'd like to meet you out in the parking lot. I would. I'd love to. Let's go at it for about 20 minutes. I've got my big brother. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I tell you what, I'm serious. I know that ain't normal preaching, but I can't stand it. I know we say things to our kids that we wish we didn't say sometimes, and we get in moods and we get ill and things like that. And we are sinners and we're still prone to do things. But I tell you what, to curse a child, I just can't imagine such a thing. Okay? We don't offend our kids like that. They'll never forget what you said to them. They'll never forget it. They love you. You're the closest thing to God they've ever seen. You're right there in line, man. Don't curse them. Next, if we want our children to be blessed, don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. To take your fist to a child like that, that's horrible. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Sure, I believe in spanking. Absolutely, I do. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. But the Bible doesn't teach abuse whatsoever. That's pathetic. That's not anywhere in the Bible. We don't do that. You don't hurt your child. You don't touch your child in a sexual way whatsoever. I don't care who you are. That's pathetic. That is sick. You hear me, guys? I come to church to learn, man. That's what I want. Amen?
Yeah.
We're holding the Word of God high here at Fellowship.
Good.
We love kids. If you want your kids to be blessed, teach them. Here we go. We're done, Raj. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That verse is in there. Bring them up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord. Finally, here we go. Teach them to fear the Lord. Number two, train them to walk in this way. And number three, say it. Don't
offend them.
Offend them. I'm going to be one last ugly thing before I go. I love life. But I am all for these three men of recent days. Carly Brucia, the other two young ladies, Munsford, and the other girl that was molested and killed. I'm all for these men to be executed in Stark, Florida. Amen. If they asked Pastor Clark to go, I'd go. I hate to be ugly. But listen, we have got to take a strong stand for our kids. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You've got to stand for your kids. And the other thing is, we've got to stand for them as far as teaching them to fear the Lord and teaching them God's way. We've got to really be for our young'uns, guys, if we want God's blessing to follow. Anyway, that's the message today. Can you say it one last time? God bless my